show. Warning, may cause excessive shrugging, deep sighing, and eye rolling. The show starts now.
Don't let the media, the press, or your environment brainwash you. It's not a black on white thing. It's not a black on black thing, and it's not a gang on gang thing. It is simply one thing. It's an ignorance thing. It's an ignorance thing. Don't be afraid to think. It's not illegal yet.
Hi there. Welcome to the Kate Daly Show. Man, we are rip-roaring today. We're ready to go. I got Uncle Milty with me. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. There were a lot of headlines today. It just so happens there were a lot of headlines today that really dealt with sort of like an ounce of truth and then the spin and then kind of wound you up and spit you out into thinking something different, into thinking something you shouldn't be thinking. And didn't it, you've always said this. You've always talked about this. The aspect of truth decay. Right?
Yes.
From 1984. And how important it is to understand how that works. So it's you know, 1984 in that world that it depicted, right, in that movie.
Yep.
Politics had consumed life's most intimate actions, right? And so truth decay is sort of defined as, instead of tooth decay, truth decay, it's defined as a set of four related trends. Increasing disagreement about facts and analytical interpretations of facts and data. Okay.
Like climate change,
like people after the president speaks or somebody speaks, they have fact checkers on both sides of the aisle. You know, ridiculousness, right? But yes, like climate change is a perfect one. A blurring of the line between opinion and fact. Boy, isn't that the truth? Aren't we getting all opinion? I mean, we're getting, like, I would say 90%
opinion. As if
opinion.
It's fact.
As if, yeah, you're right. And they stand on it and they're proud of it. Like, that is fact to them now.
And they use the fact that they're like a news anchor to bolster that.
Right.
That their
opinion is
fact.
Yes. An increase in the relative volume and resulting influence of opinion and personal experience over fact. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
And declining trust in formally respected sources of factual information.
That's been so long, I don't even remember who they were.
I know. That's true. Truth decay explains why a lot of people, even intelligent, sensible, grounded people, seem to feel like we're tumbling around like Alice, right, down the rabbit hole, and that we don't know where to look and what to, you know, you see an article and it looks like it might be truthful, and you're sitting there wondering, now, where does this go wrong and why? A perfect example of this, and there's several, is an article today about Jesse Smollett. And you all know how I feel about Jesse Smollett. I think he's kind of a scumbag. I mean, I'm not a fan of Jesse Smollett, and I'm not a fan of what he tried to do for his career. And it's self-serving and narcissistic, and he has to deal with that on his own because he's that much of a cretin. But didn't Chrisanne have great points last Thursday when she talked about the fact that, you guys, this is such a small thing. What happened was such a small thing. Why is it the national sensation? And we talked about the distraction part of it. But what got me about this in particular was the fact that they were looking at possibly charging him tens of thousands of dollars, over $100,000, right, for what he did morally. That the moral, the background of trying to prove a hate crime that didn't happen, that you should pay up for that.
Yeah.
And that did not make sense to me at all. But there's a lot of people out there saying, oh, yeah, he should pay. He should pay. Now, obviously, we're not his fans. Obviously, we think he's kind of a cretin. And I really do hope his career reaps the benefit of what he just did. And I'm sure it will. And he probably won't get very much play out of this 15 minutes that's lasting a little longer than it should of fame.
You know,
but
the way the media carries on about this, you would think they would have the same opinion
right.
on themselves when they took that story
exactly.
about the high school boys
yes.
and the Indians.
You're exactly right. No, that's a
no
great
different.
Point. That's a great point.
They actually promoted a false crime.
Yeah, they did. and levied on him some fantastical charges of moral bankruptcy and all of these things in the press, and also basically a crime in the press, right?
That's right.
The way that they viewed that and what they did, and that's why he's suing the pants off him, which I totally agree with. But the city of Chicago is threatening Jesse Smollett with a new charge if he doesn't pay the $130,000 to cover overtime costs. The problem with this, what's that? The problem is that that if that were the deal, okay, if they were able to do this, then how does that bite us in the future? How does that bite us in the future with people, how they can come back and say, now you owe us more money, right? And
or
more
else.
Money and more money, or else, right?
That's called, and I think Avenatti is aware of this too, it's called extortion.
Yeah, it is. It is.
The government doesn't get to legally do extortion.
Mm-hmm. So I think that there's so much to look at. There's all kinds of angles of this that I think people that just want him to pay aren't looking at. I think that the left excuses everything that they do already, but they're always calling for more government to come in. And this is a case of more government, bring in government to levy thought crime, bring in government to levy moral crime, to bring in government all the time to say, you know, what that is monetarily worth, what we should have to do, how they can go after you and after you and after you. And I don't agree with that. Why? Because it can bite us. It can bite us so hard and we don't even realize. Well, they leave these cases open, and they do that for a reason. And so we're seeing it sting somebody that kind of needs to be stung. But that can't be the excuse for it. It can't be why we're enjoying that. We actually have to call it out for what it is. So they should not be allowed to re-prosecute. I think we have an article for that. Yes, we do. You cannot do that. But they seem to drum up more and more avenues.
Well, it fits everything they want to do, you know, mm-hmm. because basically what they're doing is saying, let's set this thing we call a justice system over here on the side, mm-hmm. and let's see how this works.
Yeah.
Well, we know how that works. Tyrants use it all the time.
Yeah. And I never want to become the mob with the pitchfork. I never want to be that. And I never want to be, you know, the emotional, because we have enough of those. They're called liberal progressives.
Yeah.
We need more thinking, rational people. That's why the Truth Decay was interesting, because we need more intelligent thinkers on things like this and say, okay, what can that do to us in the future? How can that bite us in the future? And I think that's one of the most important conversations to say is how can that work against us, against me, against somebody that didn't do anything wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
When they didn't do anything wrong, Jesse Smollett did, but there again, there's the argument. Hi, caller. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hi, Kate.
Hi there.
I just wanted to bring this up.
Mm-hmm.
Since we're kind of talking about the media, I'm going to put Hollywood in there, and I'm going to put movie homes or houses in this too, theaters.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I did a little research of my own about unplanned.
Uh-huh, sure.
I live just outside of Philadelphia, fifth largest or sixth largest city in the country.
Mm-hmm.
We have, the population, the surrounding suburbs of Philadelphia is huge. Guess how many places are showing unplanned?
Oh, no. Let me guess.
I'm not going to say places. Let me just say how many shows there are within a 25-mile radius. Six.
Ooh.
Six.
Oh, that's so...
Now, they only made like $2-point-something million over the weekend.
Right, right.
By the way, on the weekend, it was only two shows.
Ah.
Now that we're into Tuesday, they boosted it up to six. They also put them in at 4:15 and 9 o'clock.
Really?
Especially, yeah. Oh, they nothing in the afternoon, no matinees.
Not even prime time.
No way. And they put rated R's and matinees all the time.
Right, right.
And obviously you can tell the agenda behind all this, that they do not want the public to see this movie.
No, they don't. And they're very clear about that.
You should research your area. I'm just really curious to see what the surrounding areas of St. George is and how many shows are available.
And Chicago and Missouri, speak up. You know, we're live in a lot of places. Speak up. Red State Radio,
Have your audience look. Just Google.
Okay.
Where is this showing at?
Right.
And it'll pop up and show you all your local theaters and see how many shows and how many movie houses. And, you know, in Philadelphia, it's a large city.
Right.
One movie house has it with two shows, and it's in an area in Philadelphia that is basically, it's called South Philadelphia. It's on a boulevard that's a high traffic area that really is kind of like a low end minority. A lot of Vietnamese live in that area.
Interesting, because yep. This movie needs to be seen, and all the more reason. And we need to be clamoring to see it. We need to force them to open up more showings of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Absolutely, and they're not doing it. And they have no plans of doing this.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd throw something out there to get all your audience to go do some research and call you and tell you how many
theaters
are showing it. That's why they made $2 million. They're not showing it.
Yep, I agree with you, and I would love to see people go to this movie. Thank you for that.
Yes.
Great insight. Thanks so much. He's right.
Well, he is. It only opened in 1,000 theaters nationwide.
Isn't that crazy?
If it was evenly divided by states, that's only 20 theaters per state.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so all the more reason to call your theaters, call your, make sure that they're showing it.
Demand it.
They'll be forced to show it. If people are showing up in droves and they're watching people walk away that can't get in, are you kidding? Yeah, they're going to open up another one.
Imagine a theater in business to make money.
Right.
And 100 people walk up and ask for tickets to Unplanned. And they say, well, we're not showing it. And they turn around and walk away.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, well, that's all I was interested in seeing.
True.
Sorry, bye.
Very true. I'm getting so many comments about this movie. Uncle Milty and I are going to be going to this week. But let me say that the comments I'm getting are, my husband cried. They has never cried in a movie before. This shook me. I wanted to take every single person I knew and make them see this movie because it was done so well, and because of the narrative of finding out what they're actually doing in an abortion to finally change minds and hearts. And I thought, man, this is the key. So if we can get more people to this movie to understand what they're doing, it's like somebody wrote me and said, I don't know how you could walk out of that movie anything else but pro-life.
Mm.
I don't know how, because this movie is stunning. It's good. It was done well. And you know, I think about all the dollars we spend on all the films and all the crapola mm-hmm. films that we go to the theater for, to just to be sitting entertained, and you walk out going, why did I do that? This is a movie that's going to matter. And if we can throw some money at this movie and we can attend and we can show this force and volume, even if it's at limited places, you know what? It will certainly make a statement. And I really do think that's why they're getting a lot of airtime right now, is people are showing up right now. This is so great. And as word spreads, people will continue to show.
Sure.
So can we all please make a concerted effort to see this movie? I'm going to be seeing it. I'll share my thoughts too. But wow, from what I'm hearing, it's pretty amazing.
Yep.
We'll be right back. Unplanned is the movie. Be right back on The Kate Daly Show.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is The Kate Daly Show.
Dismal song.
Well,
you like this one, don't you?
I like the music.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. It's funny. I get asked out. I get asked out. No, I don't. I get asked all the time, if you will, you know, how you do this day in, day out, you know, and the news is tough. The news is tough, especially on days where you're sifting through because things sound plausible or they sound interesting. And then all of a sudden you're going, no, stop the presses. Somebody was asking me today, you know, about getting invited to parties, and I told them that I was the grim reaper of lighthearted banter. I don't get invited to parties anymore. Grim reaper of lighthearted banter. It's hard because I'll tell you why this is a difficult time. We're in the age of right now, I think this, out of any other time, is trying to disseminate through information. And trying to, as things are skewed ever so slightly.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this. I'm just going to tie up the Jesse Smollett thing with a bow for just a second. Rahm Emanuel, okay? Rahm. Is there anybody yuckier than Rahm? Rahm Emanuel was quoted as saying that Jesse Smollett, basically what he did was it was a hate crime. It was a moral, where he has to pay, and he's going on and on about the fact that this is something that must be done because he is, you know, awful, right? He said he's also guilty of a moral crime, which is to use the hate crimes to advance his career for his own selfish reasons. Yes, he did do that. But they're saying the crime could be worth $130,000 because the $10,000 isn't enough. Remember when we said $10,000 for a bond?
Right.
And then that's not enough. So now because of all the services they use that they, you know, that is $130,000. Now, this guy's a total cad. His career's over, I'm hoping. I hope we never have to see his face again. And he'll reap the benefit of that, won't he? But for the people to say, why don't they just come out and say $500,000? Why don't they come out and say $1 million? And then what if they do that to you and you haven't done anything?
Hmm.
And they say it's $1 million because we have in our minds come up with, you know, this is worse than murder. You need to pay. They don't even make people that commit murder pay like that. So is Rahm Emanuel the kind of guy that would use this as a stepping stone to encroach on our liberty, to get us to accept something like this, where we're asking for something like this to see this guy pay? Yes.
Of course.
Just wanted to throw that out there. I think we just have to be so careful. I have to be so careful in what I want and why, because I know it can bite me. So I just wanted to make that point that Rahm Emanuel was out there with all these comments. Rahm Emanuel, who we haven't heard from in months, you know.
Well, and he's not fooling the Chicagoans.
No.
They absolutely know where he's coming from. He's done, I think. He's all done in Chicago.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder where they'll move him to next.
Right. yes, absolutely. And so here was the other one, unplanned. Could Roe versus Wade be overturned soon? There's nobody more so willing to or wanting to see this overturned than us, right? Even a collective us, right? I mean, I would love to see this overturned. Yet, we still have to remember that the states can do what the states want to do. They don't have to go by this. And this was another great read on the fact, and I'll put it on the Facebook page, but Troy Anderson wrote this, and it was, you know, we still have to realize states' power. We give into the feds so much that isn't everything hinging on this? Look at, do you remember all the moronic, what do you call them, when they were basically during the Kavanaugh trial, when they were in the back causing all this turmoil and they were so afraid of Roe versus Wade, you know, how dare they not be able to murder babies?
Right.
So Roe versus Wade, and they were deathly afraid of this. And we're hinging everything on, gosh, could the Supreme Court actually do it? Why do we invest so much faith in the Supreme Court? 200 rulings, they've turned 200 rulings. They don't always give us our best. They don't always interpret it right. Obviously, with 200 rulings, they've had to overturn. So, and when I say rulings, you know I mean opinions. So the opinions that they give, why are we so interested in giving them even more power than they think they have? It's the lie of what we've been taught.
Well, a lot of people don't even know where they think Roe v. Wade was exactly what the progressives say it was.
Right.
It's not. Roe v. Wade was just simply the Supreme Court's opinion that the laws that criminalized or restricted abortions, federal laws, were unconstitutional. And they were.
Yeah.
That's all their opinion said. But they didn't come out and put up a billboard that said, but if your state wants to make those laws, that's okay.
Of course they didn't, because they wanted to assume more power. And they wanted the precedent of assuming this sort of power. But even the precedent is kind of fantasy, because we only give them as much power as we're willing to give them.
That's right.
So the state, you know, we have to realize, I think, at some point that the states have these kinds of powers, that we're able to stand on our own and do what we want to do. You know, Georgia just passed the heartbeat bill. It didn't matter that Alyssa Milano, ridiculous little Alyssa Milano, is threatening that the film industry won't go there anymore. Yeah, that's a big threat. Anyway, same thing. The states can lead out. The states can stand. And I truly think that if we had more education on that, could you imagine the things that we could do as states?
Mm-hmm.
It's frustrating. It's really frustrating. We were talking about the movie Unplanned before, and that's what brought this up. And make sure that you see Unplanned, because there's few movies that are really that good, I think, that from what I'm hearing, I'll be seeing it this week, that are taking it by storm and saying, and coming at it from an angle that's so identifiable and so real. And so please, I'm going to see it, Uncle Milty's going to go see it. Please, let's have, like, you know, a major field trip around the around this nation right now. I wish I could say globe, because it, you know, we'll have to wait for that kind of release. But even if it's in just a few theaters, see it anyway. Mm-hmm. And bring your friends and family. That should be something that you should probably spend a few dollars on, I think.
And be prepared to have a big discussion with your children.
Yes, yes. I totally agree. I think that we need to sort of relook at that. Truth Decay was kind of on our minds today because we saw little things. I saw there was a local paper of mine that put out the fact that healthcare reform, Republicans want, or this was it, Republicans recognize the need to have sort of this Obamacare, and so we just need to reform it. And that's another lie we're told in the press. It's another truth decay. They said we were fighting it for years, right? And they were going to do everything they could do. Don't you remember all the pulpit speeches of all the elected officials? We're going to get it. We're going to get it gone. We're going to get rid of it. We're going to oust it the second we have power. Then they didn't. And now they're back with, well, we all recognize, right? I mean, come on, you conservatives. You all realize that we need this, right? And we don't. And there's a lot of other vehicles.
Yep.
A lot of other vehicles. And we were just talking to somebody that brought that up, and they and the conversation is, yes, there's all kinds of different things that you can do. You don't have to be Amish. There's other things you can do, but you can actually get in there and have some options. But no, we should never be okay from switching the conversation from, we have to get rid of this as a nation. This is bad for our nation.
Of course.
To, I guess we'll take it and we'll just try and change a little of it. I mean, is that not the most ridiculous sway in opinion and conversation?
Well, they think it's just this huge monster that's that can't be defeated.
Right.
It isn't.
I know.
It's Goliath.
Yeah. 888-673-1450. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. I don't know how many people have heard about Students for Life Association, SFLA.
Uh-huh.
I've been supporting them for about 5 years now, and I find that Kristen is her first name. She's the president. She's the one who instigated this years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But this organization is starting to really go forward and get into schools. Mm. So I just want to put a heads up out there for everyone to look up Students for Life Association.
Okay.
It's a worthy cause.
Okay.
And they're going to all to a lot of schools and re-educating people regarding abortion. So,
oh, that's so good.
That's just... Yeah, let people know about that, and please look up the Students for Life Association.
I will. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the call. 888-673-1450. Thank you for that. Do you know there's some good things? There's some really good things going on. I think education spreads. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for our ability to kind of see that politics can't fix politics. There was a great article about that that I was reading earlier, that we this fantasy that politics can fix politics. We have to lead out and be good people. That's how you solve this. And as you lead out and fight for morals and values, then you become the people that won't put up with this kind of nonsense. But when we keep begging politics to fix politics, gee, it never happens. Just like we're begging for Roe versus Wade to get overturned. Why? Why are we begging for that? Yeah. You know what? Have all the states overturn it. How big is that? How big is their quote unquote ruling then if all the states go, I'm sorry, no, we aren't going to do it. They don't have any play. They realize how powerless they are.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that awesome? So as these states are leading, Georgia and I think Alabama, is Alabama one? I'm trying to remember if it was Alabama. There was a couple of states.
Alabama made a law, too.
There's a couple of states that are just doing some great things to sort of lead the way. And the biggest scare tactic that they're using now is a lawsuit. Oh, they're going to have, the state's going to have to spend so much money.
Oh, yeah. We can't afford that lawsuit.
You know what? I don't care. Human life is worth having to go to bat for it. Because all the other stuff they're spending money on is ridiculous. So human life, bring it on.
Well, they don't hesitate to bring a lawsuit against the president. yeah. for anything.
No, that's true. That's very true. And so I think, you know what, we have got to urge our states to get into that fight and stop pretending that they don't have the money to do it.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I agree. No, and you know that the caller who mentioned Students for Life of America?
Yeah.
You know, one of their reasons they started that is they say that 79% of Planned Parenthood offices are located 5 miles from a college or less.
Really?
And 52% of women seeking abortion are under 25. So college and high schools are the prime place to fight this.
Well, I'll tell you, I've never seen anything like it. That one video where they showed the women what was actually going on, and all of a sudden they completely turned their stance in a matter of minutes, went, oh, I didn't know they were doing that. It just sounded really good in theory on all the posters and all these women fighters. That just sounded great. No.
Yeah.
It was when they saw the video and they realized, just like this movie is, that's the exact same premise of this movie.
I've noticed all my life that reality had a real strange effect on people.
Isn't that true? Yeah. Isn't that true? A dose of reality is pretty nice. And so as we get caught up in these truth decays, where it's kind of, it's kind of half, you know, it's pinning your hope on something that you don't need to pin your hope on. It's rendering your power to something that you don't need to render your power to. It is trying to see the nonsense they bring in and usher in through some of the precedents they do set in having us go along with something emotionally rather than thinking it out and really having us come to the conclusion that, hey, wait a minute, almost like the whole free speech thing. If I don't let Larry Flint do his thing, I can't say what I want to say,
right.
Even though I don't like Larry Flint. That whole article, and yes, that movie is what I'm referring to, but isn't it the truth?
I mean, the one that politician took his mother to?
Yes. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is James over at Garage Doors.
Talk lines are open now. Call 888-673-1450. This is the Kate Daly Show.
Oh, where I'm going, I just want to be left alone.
Back. You're listening to the Kate Daly Show. I've got Uncle Milty with me. We're talking about truth decay. We're talking about truth decay, not tooth decay. And from 1984, and talking about how things are so kind of that this is the era of trying to get to the truth, of trying to understand how things are in play, how they're taking concepts and changing them, like the Electoral College, like so many different things that we've talked about on the show, that we bring up with Chris Ann, whatever the case may be, right? There's just so many things that they're trying to skew and trying to tell you that are needed. And really, I think the challenge of our time right now is to look into these things and understand where the truth lies. That's like one of the hardest things for everybody, because we're in the age of, we've got a lot of disinformation, we've got a lot of propaganda, and how do you see through that? And you're also welcome to call up, you know, what are you seeing in the headlines where you see a headline and you're thinking there is a little truth in there and they've really skewed it to get you to believe something different about it.
Yep.
Boy, it's rampant. 888-673-1450. There was an article about Seattle. Do you want to talk about this for a second?
Yeah, you know, it's really a good article, and it's the title is Seattle is Dying Because Liberalism is Killing It.
Yeah.
And this actually was broadcast on KOMO. It was a KOMO station, kind of special. But basically, it goes through everything about how all this liberalism is allowing people to pretty much do anything they want in Seattle.
Yeah.
And the bottom line is, most people, when they're given those options to be totally free with no responsibility for their actions, they do nasty, bad things.
So true.
And the town is deteriorating. The city is just turning into trash. The homelessness problem. You know, I mean, But we're not seeing that just in Seattle. Yeah. I would love to hear how many people feel that way about right. their cities.
That's true. 888-673-1450. You can sound off live. 888-673-1450. And what was cited in this? I mean, what were some of the things that they were looking at? Because it's very interesting to me how this ideology impacts so many different avenues, so many different things. Mm-hmm. It's not just an ideology. It is an ideology that kills or that destroys because it's in everything, right?
Yeah. And so in Seattle, a lot of residents no longer even feel safe in their city.
Kind of like San Francisco?
Yeah, the police can't keep Chicago. Up with mm-hmm. all of the problems, again, of liberalism.
Right.
It's like, in so many. You know, the crime, you can't fight petty crime anymore
mm-hmm.
because there's just too much of it.
Right.
There's lost souls all over the place, you know, they're walking yeah. the streets, drug addicts and people with mental problems that are out free wandering around it.
Right.
And so people don't feel safe, and law enforcement is little or no help on all of this stuff. So, and then there's the filth.
Mm. And isn't it interesting how it attracts this? I mean,
yeah.
if you think about all the things, you know, by their fruit you shall know them. Same line of thinking. I mean, what happens to a city when they go full, you know, progressive liberal? It's a hot mess is what it is. I mean, look at the poop maps destroying yeah. fecal matter, destroying San Francisco. Look at what's going on. Why do you call, Cook County, Crooked County in Chicago? Look at the fallout of all of these things. And it doesn't just land in homelessness. It doesn't just land in crooked legislators and crooked AGs and crooked this and crooked that. It's all over the place. And it manifests itself in a lot of different ways.
Well, and property crimes,
mm-hmm.
Seattle leads the nation in the top 20 cities
that.
For property crimes.
That's a surprise.
It's amazing.
I spent 18 months in Seattle. That's why I did missionary work in Seattle, actually.
Always heard it was a beautiful
city. It was
city.
When I was there. It was beautiful.
So, but the people there, they say, look, mm-hmm. we're not blaming the police.
Right.
The police are in a bad spot. They're just too much crud.
Right.
And they can't, they're overwhelmed. Kind of like the border. They're overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And once you overwhelm your law enforcement or your border or your uh-huh. whatever, you can't fight it. Yeah. You're done.
Oh, isn't that the truth?
I mean, that's a common thing in war. How do you mm-hmm. win a war? You overwhelm the enemy.
Right.
Well, that's what's happening. Yeah. We're in a kind of a war.
Right. And so if you were to step back and say, you know, along the same lines, you know, by their fruit you shall know them, you know, what are they delivering, right? And this has happened time and time again, yet we keep doing it, don't we? We keep fostering these cities on the peripheral that are so very, very, very liberal. And we have states in the middle, too, that are turning this way, too.
Yep.
What makes them keep turning when all they're turning out is this kind of stuff? Have you seen a city that's gone totally progressive liberal with all of their elected officials, with all of their ideas, adopted everything that they wanted, and it turned out okay?
Never.
Never once. I haven't either. I can't even give you one instance.
You know,
so what is it with us?
And one of the things we hear a lot anymore that we never used to hear is, We need to hear her truth or his truth.
Oh, my gosh. It's the truth.
It's the truth. It's not my...
What do you mean her truth?
You mean
her perception
her
of the truth?
Her opinion?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's her
That's
opinion,
exactly
not
what it
truth.
Is. And you could say the same about a male. It's his truth. Well, it's his perception of the truth. It's all of our perceptions of the truth.
Yeah.
That is the funniest thing I've heard in a long time. Her
well,
truth.
It's like Ocasio-Cortez said, though. It's not all that important to be factually correct.
Before you quote her, can we put on the lunacy cap? I need a special transmitter. Okay, so like I'm saying, everything that's been touched by that, it's not okay. And for some reason, we don't catch on. We don't learn. We don't learn from this. And all these cities that we're mentioning right now, and you could even say Baltimore, you could say Detroit, you could say all these different cities are having so many problems. And they're out of control. Yet we still opt for this kind of stuff in theory because people like it in theory. They like it on a sign, you know?
Yeah. And the progressives, So one of the problems, one of the worries in Seattle is their mm-hmm. city council's getting quite elderly.
Right.
And a lot of them are getting ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
And the progressives, the social, mm-hmm. democratic socialists,
right.
have already moved in to get those city council seats. They're already campaigning for them. And the people there are frightened. And now here's an article that's supposedly pointing all this out. But in the final analysis, what they're saying is it's too late.
It's too late.
The Democratic Socialists are here. They're going to take over, and we're going to move even further to the left, and there's nothing you can do about it.
And that's a lie.
It's an absolute lie.
Do you know how many of these things do this? They really do. They make it seem like it's over. And if you saw a groundswell of support in the other direction, and we talked about this the other day, was it last week? And you start to see a groundswell. Don't you join that groundswell and get excited? Of course you do, right? And I'm talking just people going to see Unplanned.
Sure.
People standing up against the colleges and the horrific things going on there. People honestly saying, we're going to support everything that's good. We're not going to put up with this. And I think, you know, when you start to see a groundswell like that, it's everything you want to do in your heart to want to join and want to make it bigger because you see other people out there doing it. And so we need to be the other people. Everybody's waiting on everyone else for that sort of groundswell of, come on, let's show the nation that most of this nation isn't okay with all of this.
Well, they always try to make it sound like the progressive liberals are the only ones that are able to do the grassroots thing.
Isn't that the truth?
Anybody can do the grassroots.
Yeah.
Start an organization.
That is so true. There was a great read, and it was called National Spinach Day. And I was laughing at this because of the premise. It was National Spinach Day. Today is Autism Day. It's Equal Pay Day. It's all of the, is it Donut Day? I mean, let's just throw in another vegetable. It's Carrot Day, whatever you want to say. But I thought this was so interesting because it pointed out the need for us to have all of these days. Why? Why are we clamoring for this? Why is a portion of our society get so excited about having a day for something? A whole day dedicated to whatever stupid object you could come up with, like spinach. So you take pictures with spinach, you're dressing in green, you're filling your Instagram with stupid spinach posters in the grocery store. Why? Why are we doing this? Want to take a stab at it?
I think it's in a way to promote the government idealistic things that, you know, these things are important.
Ah,
these
yes.
things are
yes,
important
yes, yes.
to us.
No, you're right. Actually, it's about creating holidays. It's about saying that you move further away from God. You want to reject everything that you know has values and inkling of anything attached to it. Right, and they go off on these spins of things. And if you're one that celebrated Spinach Day, it's okay. People are getting caught up in this left and right. It's not really like a left progressive thing. But my comment is on this in particular is, what is the need for us to adopt these days? The need for us to adopt these days is to try and invent something special.
Yeah.
And so we go, well, we want a day for it, right? Or we want a bridge named after it. We want a month for it. We want a LGBT month, or we want
an asteroid.
Yeah. Get an asteroid named in your, that's a cheap gift. Get an asteroid named. All of these kinds of things we invent. We invent these treasures in our life. We invent these things because we're walking away from some of the things that meant something, and we're trying to reinvent it into something else. And this is what reminds me of these cities, too. At the same time, they're trying to reinvent a different way to do a city. And it obviously hasn't worked, won't work, never will work. Because in America, the only thing that really can work is if we start to revert liberty back to, return liberty back to the people.
Yep.
And so that's what actually makes it thrive. And you'll see the communities where it's thriving, where you have more liberty, plainly.
And if
easy
we
to
do
see.
That,
yeah.
we don't have to create a day for it. We already have.
Yeah,
it's called Independence Day.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. But isn't that interesting? It's kind of like National Siblings Day. What does everybody do? Grab their siblings,
what?
Put up sob story pictures. Oh, my gosh, I love my siblings. Do I love my siblings all year?
Of course
I do. Do I have to have a day to celebrate them? No.
I don't.
It's an invented little treasure for us, a way to sort of shine a light on something we're missing. We're clearly missing the education of liberty, to understand our Constitution, to know exactly what we should be rooting for and what we shouldn't, to all of the ideals that you know work. And we're inviting all these other things in because we're trying to replace it with something and invent something that's somehow superior or equal to what we've lost. And we'll never be able to do it. I don't care how many spinach days you have. Spinach is still spinach. I don't care if you want a day called equal pay day for men and women. There's reasons on equal pay, and it's not going to be consumed on a day as far as to why, and you can't celebrate. It's just so strange to me.
It's actually really divisive, too.
Yeah.
Because how many people do you think really give a rat's behind about spinach day?
I don't know. I like donut day. Don't get me wrong. Donut day has its pluses. But look how crazy we've gone over this stuff. We've gotten to a point as a society where we're constantly trying to replace what we know works with and what's special with what's not. And it's always the, what do they call that? My brain isn't working today. It's the counterfeit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the counterfeit version. And the counterfeit version, at the end of spinach day, did you feel like you learned a lot about spinach or that you want to eat it every day? Of course you didn't. You loathe spinach, just like everybody else, except when it's in a salad. But you know what, though? That's the whole point. We keep doing this as a country. We know most of this country knows better. Most of this country knows that you can't replace politics with politics. You can't help politics, I should say, with politics. We know in our heart of hearts that it has to be the people that lead out and good people that lead out. And if we have that, I can't even imagine what we could do.
And without all those ridiculous days, you appreciate more Christmas, Easter,
Thanksgiving, some of the days
Independence Day
matter.
Those were the holidays when I grew up.
Yeah.
We didn't have any other days.
No, they even threw in Earth Day, Earth Week in the public education system. What do they have? Earth Month?
They have Earth Year.
Why don't we have Independence Year? I mean, this is one of our issues, is that we keep trying to replace with a counterfeit.
Right.
So I look at these cities and I say, you know what? If you actually had the rule of law, and it's not as if we have it in all the other cities, we have problems in cities nationwide. But if we can see where we're trying to bring in the counterfeit and where it's not working, and we're trying to bring some common sense and education to this, it's much more clear to see.
Sure.
So we can solve the problem a little easier if it's more clear, right? It's kind of like the women that watched those videos, and all of a sudden it became very clear what abortion did.
Mm-hmm.
And they went, oh my gosh, I can't do that. That's not me. That's not who I am.
No.
That's sick. What are we doing? They had to see it.
Yep.
They had to see it so it was more clear. Be right back on the Kate Daly Show.